Okay, good afternoon, everybody. It's a little bit after one, I guess it's about five after. Sorry for the problems getting in today. Let me see. Welcome to the December 16th governing board meeting for the Washington County EMS Alliance. I don't believe introductions are necessary. I recognize everybody up on the screen. So we'll go right to the adoption of the agenda. Does anybody have any changes to the agenda? If none, I'll take a motion and a second to approve today's agenda.
This is Mira, so moved.
This is Rob, I'll second.
Thank you. Review and approve the meeting minutes from October. I only had one change here. I don't think I said Ben Tanner's name clearly. I think in the meeting minutes it says Dan, Dan. His first name is actually Ben, Ben. So that's the only edit I had to the October meeting minutes. If you've had a chance to review the minutes, does anybody else have any changes, or can I take a motion to accept the meetings with my small change?
So moved.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, everybody. Agenda and minutes are good to go. Yura, anybody signed up for public comment today?
No one we know ahead of time.
Okay, sounds good. We'll move right down to item number two, strategic planning, and I will turn it over to Aiden.
Thanks. So we have two things on the bylaws. The first is we have proposed changes to section 2B of the officers. I'm going to put a picture in the chat so people have it. You have it in your email, of course, in the actual bylaws as well. And it is on page five, the changes. We're really just looking at, originally the bylaws said only the primary members or delegates in most cases can be chair to this group, not their backup person. So the proposed change is to have either primary or backup person for any of the signatory members be chair or vice chair. And so that language is proposed in the bylaws. And then the second part of the agenda is, if we're opening up the bylaws to do that, it's probably worthwhile just taking a gander at them over the next month for other changes that are needed. This was more timely as Chief Downey's time is coming to a close and being chair. And so we wanted to open up to more folks to be able to hold that role. I guess any questions or thoughts about the proposed changes?
Just one question. I'm confused on number five that you made that change. What is it saying? It's saying, so like if, let's say Jimmy is the main delegate or he holds a position, I wouldn't be that position if he's gone. I get that. Is that what the intent is there, or is it something different? I just got confused. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I tried to, it's super circular. But basically it's saying that if the backup delegate from any agency is the chair, then the primary wouldn't take their place if they are absent. Is exactly that. It's not transferable. It's not coverable in an absence from a meeting. We had it when it was just the primaries who could be chair, so their backup couldn't become chair if you were out of the office. And so I was trying to make it so that it's not transferable. We have a vice chair who can step in that case.
Okay. If that's the intent, that's totally fine then. And I agree with the rest of it as well.
Any other concerns?
Adrian's Mark. I just have a question.
Sure.
If there's a primary and a secondary or an alternate, is there a reason that for the organization, they're selecting who the primary and the secondary is if they would like to see the secondary serve as vice chair or chair, is there any reason that it just wouldn't be that they'd switch them to be the primary representative? Seems odd to have a secondary representative be the chair of the organization, is in my mind, be the chair of the EMS Alliance. That just seems odd. So, but that's my thought. Doesn't matter.
Adrian, you want me to take that? Mark, that's a good question. When we were discussing the next position for chair of the Alliance, Mira wasn't there. It was just the fire chiefs that were there. And we were talking about the ability for one of the other fire chiefs to take on the chairman role. And none really had the capacity to do it. And if Mira wasn't interested or couldn't, what might we do next? So we wanted to create a little bit of bench depth for the chair and the vice chair, similar to kind of what we've done currently with the Fire Defense Board. Is Chief Rentress is a deputy chief, but is the Fire Defense Board chief and doesn't sit in a fire chief position. That structure's worked really, really well. We were just looking to give ourselves a little bit more depth for chair and vice chairman's positions at the Alliance. That's really the intent.
So then do we have to change anything? Because I understand what Mark's saying too. And it kind of makes sense to me. I mean, if we decide, again, hypothetical, Jimmy, don't take this the wrong way. but if we select Chief Smario as the chair, I don't really have a role, because at that point I don't even vote. He's our voting member for TVFNR at that point. And he's, for all intents and purposes, running it for my organization. And well, I can't take his spot. I mean, I can't, if he's absent, I don't get to take his spot, although I could be there to vote for TVFR.
Yeah, the intent's not to change who votes. The chair is just chairing the meeting. The five governing board members still are the only five that can vote. This is just about chairing the meeting, but doesn't change anybody's current. So the primary delegate to the Alliance would still be the only voting member for that organization, unless they were absent and then their backup could vote for them. But make sure I'm explaining this right. If the chair is a backup delegate, but the primary delegate's there, the primary delegate's the voter in that meeting.
Okay.
I don't know if the bylaws need to be changed to say that. I don't think they do, because higher in the bylaws, it says the voting members are those designated as the primaries by their agencies. We're just changing chairmanship.
If I could, Chair Downing?
Yeah.
I just offer a similar situation exists with PDCC, the ORS-190, the Portland Dispatch Center Consortium, 9 members involved in that. And all they've done is that every agency has a vote. And every agency identifies who their primary and their alternate rep is. The primary and the alternate, they can be the director, the assistant director, the chief, the assistant chief, doesn't matter. They get to pick a primary, they pick an alternate. And from the primaries, somebody is selected as chair. And there's a vice chair. If the primary, or if the chair is not there, the vice chair runs the meeting. And whoever they identify as the primary is the primary person to vote. And if the primary is not present, the alternate is the voting representative for that entity. And the assumption is that it didn't matter whether it's the chief or a deputy chief or a lieutenant, whoever's representing the organization knows they're voting for the organization. They should be voting the direction of the organization. So it doesn't, in my mind, it doesn't, in that environment, it doesn't matter who's doing the voting, only that one person from that organization can vote. And again, if whoever they call out as a primary, if they're both present, the primary is the person voting. If they're not both present, then the alternate votes for the organization. And then it doesn't matter if the time constraints were to say, in the case of Fire Defense Board, if you followed that practice, Assistant Chief Frentress is the primary representative and is chair, allowed to be chair, you know, then runs the chair. And if he and the chief are both there, you know, I'm sure Kenny would still be the primary, and he's probably looking to the chief to make sure he knows what the position is of the organization. I mean, that's what I see as the, anyway, I'll leave it alone since I'm actually not even a voting member of the EMS Alliance. So I'll leave it at that.
No, thanks, Mark. I just want to make sure that the changes that we've prepared for today reflect overall what we want. I mean, there's no change to the governing structure. And there wasn't meant to be implied there'd be any changes as to who the voting members are, just some ability for alternate delegates or alternative delegates to be to the chair or the vice chairs. So,
and this is really the path of least resistance. If we change primary and backup delegates, in some cases, that's a action by a mayor, or, you know, for us, you know, Tanya is, you know, the one. So we have a barrier if we're flipping primary and backup people in order to have somebody act as chair. So this is an easier route to go for sure. Any other concerns with the wording as proposed? If not, Chief Downey, want to go for a vote?
Sure. Well, I guess formally, do we have to have a motion, and I would think we have to have a motion and a second to approve, and then any additional discussion and vote. Does that sound about right? Okay. So can I have a motion to approve the change to the EMS Alliance bylaws as presented at today's meeting?
So moved.
Thank you, Chief Lins.
Second.
Thanks, Chief Weiss. Is there any additional discussion? Hearing none, we'll vote. All those in favor of the motion to adopt the changes to the EMS Alliance bylaws as proposed, please either say aye or raise your hand. Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
We will get that change made, and that can be effective immediately, so we can move on to the next steps. Is everyone okay with doing, I don't think we need a vote, it's more of a consensus, just having the bylaws open, anybody who, you know, take a look through them, if you see any other concerns, we can do updates and a discussion at the next meeting and get them all cleaned up and sent back out. Does that sound okay for folks?
Yeah. Are we going to have a conversation too? I think it came up a while back about Gaston and Cornelius. But that's a bigger
change. Yeah, that's still, I don't think we've ever resolved what to do in that situation. So that could be one of the discussion points for next month. Okay. You all have the latest version, minus, of course, the current change to the chair sections. So over the next few weeks, take a look at it. Send in any if you have just edits or thoughts, send them in to Yura, and we can collect those for a discussion in January. And I think that's all I have on bylaws.
Yeah. So next item is nominations and voting for the governing board chair and vice chair positions. here we go. Do we have any We'll do obviously the chair first. Are there any nominations for the governing board chair of the EMS Alliance? Merrick, I want to ask you, are you interested in serving in the chair role? We haven't had that discussion with you.
Thank you, Chief Downey. I am hesitant due to workload, but of course I know that sounds so flippant. I mean, everyone has intense workload, right? So I just don't want to overcommit. I guess having been kind of observing for a while and just stepping in as an official voting member, I don't quite know the level of time commitment. So if it's more kind of facilitating the meetings, helping plan agendas, that's something I could do. If it involves a lot more than that, then I'm not sure I'm the best pick right now. So I don't know if that's something we can chat about or should chat about now in terms of time commitment.
Chief Downey, it's probably worth just mentioning for anyone else who might be pondering whether they want to be chair or vice chair, just you have quite a bit of experience with the amount of workload that it is.
Yeah, it's been a lot less, I'd say, in the last year. Obviously, the work that we did in 21 and 22, a lot of changes with the RP and the franchise agreement, and even before that, writing the changes to the government's documents and the ambulance service area. That was a lot, and so my role really was sort of facilitating the work groups and helping them get through that. I mean, in the last year since everything has kind of settled in with the new franchise agreement, it's been very much more about sort of restructuring where we go from here. I think we've done a good job of structuring the current work groups we have. There are four. I think they're in a good position. They're following the strategic plan. So lately it's been really about just making sure the work groups have what they need and meeting with Adrian and Tim and Ira and Chief Gearing as the vice chair currently to discuss what the agendas would be. But that depends on, that workload is going to depend on what the work groups, which are really sort of still working on charters and getting membership, come up with. So that workload might escalate. So Mira, I appreciate, I mean, the reason we just did the bylaws change is the four other governing board departments had the same issue with their appointed primary positions. So, right now, I might say in the ebb and flow or on the downside of tasks for the chair, but I would not promise you that that wouldn't change.
Yeah, thank you. That's helpful and that's fair. And I'm also just conscious of, I guess, could it become too Washington County staff heavy, if I'm chairing and doing a lot of the prep work with Tim and Adrian. I want to make sure, that our partners are feeling well represented in the structure and leadership of the EMS Alliance. So I guess I'm kind of neutral right now. So
okay,
I'd be happy to see if somebody else is interested, but happy to support and serve as needed.
Yeah, thank you. So the question's on the table if we have any nominations for the chair position.
Was there anybody from Forest Grove or Banks that was interested in that at all?
I spoke with Chief Gearing and Chief Lins is here. So I'll let him answer on behalf of Banks, but there was not interest from Forest Grove.
And from Banks, I think I'm not, because I've got a lot of projects I'm involved with, and I think Andrew is still kind of learning the process here. So I think he's got a little more time. He feels more comfortable maybe stepping in down the road, but not right now.
Exactly. I hadn't contemplated if there were no nominations today, what that might mean for me or the January meeting.
I'm looking through the bylaw. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. If there aren't any nominations today, and based on the changes in the bylaws, and I don't know where the line is on discussing this offline in terms of public meeting rules, so I want to be careful there. Obviously the bylaw changes is new. And if we need to talk to our, some of our alternate delegates about their ability. I mean, we are, can I say this in this meeting? We're their bosses, so we can kind of tell them they have the capacity to do it, I guess. But that wouldn't be nice, so we probably won't do that. But yeah. Chief Weiss, were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was not going to say anything.
Oh, okay, I just thought your mic was open, so I thought you might.
That was my error. I haven't closed it off yet.
Okay, all right.
I haven't really had a chance to talk to anybody internally either. For whatever reason, I thought there might have been somebody from one of the other agencies that might have wanted to do it, so I wasn't really thinking about it.
Okay.
But we have to do it right now?
No. I mean, we can defer this until I think our next meeting's January 23rd, so we have some time to talk to our delegates and, you know, just discuss. No, I think we can table this if we need to. I'll continue in the chair role until, as long as we don't defer this at every future meeting in 2025. I have no problem tabling it for today, and we can continue in 2025. Is everybody okay, board members, with that approach for today?
Yeah, now that we have the updated bylaws, I think it sounds like that gives us that flexibility to look to delegate. So yes, and I think we can commit not to tabling at each consecutive meeting.
Well, I'm not gonna go that far.
All right, yeah. Fair enough.
You planted the seed, sir. So
it was the awkward silence. It was obvious, right, where that was going. Okay. Adrian, I think we'll do that. We'll, rather than have a vote on vice chair and chair today, we'll let people review the bylaws and speak to their alternate delegates, and we will place chair and vice chair nominations and voting on the January agenda.
That sounds great. And once you all apply the direct or peer pressure on folks and you have nominations, just send them our way. We can include those out in the agenda so that folks know what's coming to the meeting. So we're not looking for live nominations in the meeting in January. We can vote on the highly, highly competitive positions, or at least acknowledge who's going to take those new roles.
No, Adrian, I appreciate that suggestion. I think maybe we should do that. If we've discussed, then we can sort of filter our information to Adrian and Yira, and we have a list of nominations before the next meeting. We can go through that and then vote accordingly. Chief Weiss, I think I interrupted you.
No, I was just curious if the Gaston Cornelius impacts this at all.
That's a good point. I know Chief Morris has worked on adding a few folks to give him some support. But I don't know what their defined roles are. And right, I think all of us know that Cornelius has posted for a fire chief position. And I'm not sure what their hiring timeline is, but I'm sure that particular chief would want to be a member of the governing board. So you're right, we might have two additional members potentially in early 25. And I know what I'm saying as I say this out loud. So yeah, there might be more opportunities and positions on the governing board, I would say by maybe the second quarter of 25 potentially.
So, I mean, is that accurate, Adrian and others? I mean, it seems like that's what's going to happen, right? Is somehow they have to be added on.
It's a discussion that I think came up with the last bylaws because Gaston was brought up. I knew too that Cornelius was doing the posting for a chief, so that you know, when we started, it was really with Forest Grove, it was kind of one. So that's a shift as well. So I think that those are both valid discussion points on how the EMS Alliance is reflective of all the agencies. I know that Chief Morris has had a hard time making it to this meeting, which is understandable. There's not a lot of bench depth. And I don't have a sense of the size or scope of Cornelius as that moves forward as well. So I think that those are conversations to be had. I'm not sure that either pose a great option for chair or vice chair at this point, because they'll be coming into the whole meeting and work groups and organization new for the most part. But
Yeah.
we do need to look at that for the bylaws for sure.
I remember us having a discussion several months ago. If Gaston were to join and we were to have six governing board members and there were a 3-3 tie in a vote, how we would break the tie. We never had to cross that bridge because Gaston never formally joined, but I think there are some maybe additional items in the bylaws. If only Cornelius or only Gaston joins, and we end up in the sixth situation and have a tie, what do we do as a group then? So you make a good point, Chief Weiss. If we end up with one or two, do we add members? And then what do we do in terms of voting and breaking ties if necessary? So a few things probably to look at.
That new chair is going to have a lot of work to do.
You said new though. No, I heard the word new. So,
Sorry, you're breaking up.
yeah. Okay. All right. If everybody's all right, we'll move on to item number three. Work group reports. Allison, is, or I'm sorry, Alyssa is here today, and she's here for Jack, and she's going to talk a little bit about the status of the data use agreement, and where we are with that. Alyssa, it's all yours.
Yeah, thank you. Right now the DUA is being reviewed by all fire agencies and AMR. Once your attorneys or whomever is reviewing for your agency has taken a look, you can send comments and questions to me and Jack. We're going to be compiling those, and if it sounds good to you, what we'll do from there is sort of once we receive comments or a go-ahead from every agency, we'll schedule a follow-up meeting to discuss any comments or questions or concerns that have come up and come to consensus on what revisions are needed to the document and get some legal guidance from our legal counsel at that point. So that way we can make all of the changes at once and send one revised version back out to all agencies to review the changes.
Alyssa, I know you've in communicating with Jack, I know you've gotten feedback from TBF&R and Hillsborough. And I don't know, there's no one here from Forest Grove. So if you need me to, I can reach out representing the data work group and send a reminder to the other agencies if you haven't gotten any more feedback other than Hillsborough and TBF&R.
I think it's only Hillsborough so far. That would be very helpful. Thank
Okay.
you.
Okay. I'll check my email from Jack because I think he had told me that Tualatin Valley had provided input as well. So, but
Oh,
I'll
okay.
check and I can send out a reminder. So,
That would be fantastic.
I know we had a discussion at the last Fire Defense Board meeting as well about giving input to the data use agreement as well. So we'll just send out an additional reminder to get feedback to Jack. So,
Perfect. Thank you.
okay. Yeah. And that's really, as far as the data work group itself goes in terms of an update, that's really what the data work group's solely been working on is the data use agreement. And yeah, Jack did let me know he's going to be on out of the office for a few weeks. So we probably wouldn't hear back from him until January anyway, if we sent something. So he's off for a little bit. So are there any other updates from anybody work group, whether that's resource management or system stewardship? Obviously, Tim, I'd say we've hadn't had much to do with regulatory docs other than our own charter, but we're good there. But I know we were still waiting on some members for, I believe, resource management work group more than any. Chief Smart, I don't want to put you on the spot, but how's membership going?
Thank you for the opportunity. We had our first meetings for both resource management
Oh.
enhancement. That is a collective group of personalities that we're bringing in and trying to get them all up to speed. their scope and understanding of both constructs within the county and within their roles and the big picture. To include myself, that first meeting, there was some clarity, but also still a lot of work and understanding that needs to happen within those work groups to really become effective. But we have put our best foot forward. We actually have another resource management meeting, I believe, Thursday afternoon. System stewardship won't be because of the holidays till January. But those have been stood up, and I would not quite call them operational, but they are engaged.
No, great. Thank you for the update. Yeah, and trying to explain some of the role of the chair position. The way we're structured, I mean, we have the oversight of the strategic plan, and we do have our four work groups, regulatory documents, resource management, system stewardship, and the data work group. I mean, those are sort of the four work groups we have at the moment that are, you know, moving forward with the work we need to keep the strategic plan moving forward, which, if I remember right, went through 24, 25. So in the next, probably in 25, that might have to get a revisit as well, but to come in 2025. I don't believe there are any other work group updates, so we can go quickly to agency updates and round robin. Adrian, is there anything else from Washington County?
My mind just went blank. I shared the Jack thing. Otherwise, we continue to plug away on a number of projects. Tim, do you have any updates?
Just a couple small ones. Just wrapped up our multi-agency training last week, which had really good participation from all the agencies, save the West County folks for the obvious kind of operational reasons. You know, they're very heavily staffed with volunteers or don't quite have the bandwidth to get people in to the Blanton building to participate during the daily sessions. But those that were there were very engaged. We changed up the way we did things this year. Years past, it had been very simulation based, where you kind of walk into the station, you're presented with a scenario, and then you run it as you would a call in the field. This year was more, it was probably about 95% conversation based, kind of giving some, you know, physiology, pathophysiology, reasons why we do certain things like delayed sequence intubation, EMS medical directors roundtable, and then a really engaging discussion about the use of the language line, centered around a pediatric seizure call. So we got to touch on PD dose, the trial that we're all in. But the reason that the discussion was so engaging is because one of the members from Hillsborough, his mom is deaf, and so we used language line, an ASL interpreter, and she was there all 6 days, full days, all sessions, to be she actually played the patient's grandmother, and the crews had to interact with her, contact language line, and go through the whole thing. And it was fascinating to watch. A lot was learned, and just super appreciative of Andrew Kinblade and his mom to be able to dedicate all that time for training. So that's my soft shout out to those two, and thanks to Chief Downey. And that's my update.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tim. Yeah, I heard as well that the MAT training was very well received in the language line portion, especially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. I'm looking around. Mark Buchholz, anything from WACA today?
Chief, no, I don't have any updates for the group today.
Okay. Thank you. We can go around to the fire agencies. I mentioned at our last meeting, we'll be having a change in sort of structure with our chief officers. Richard Vetch, who's the current EMS chief, is going to go back on shift. And our current captain at Station 1 is going to get promoted to battalion chief and will take over as the EMS chief for us on January 8th. So that's really the only news from Hillsborough. Chief Weiss, anything from Tualatin Valley?
Who's going to be your new EMS chief? Because I want the name when I nominate him or her.
Ben Tanner.
Okay, that's perfect. I don't have anything. Jimmy, you have anything for us?
I would just say a reminder of the ARM unit. We're finalizing contracts, and that's through the Quality Cares Fund, through Oregon Department of Human Services to deploy a PA, nurse practitioner in the field, one of our resources, specific to those licensed care facilities, trying to get some ER diversion and the economics associated with those ER transports removed from both our patients and the EMS system. So just a kind of reminder, we're shooting for a January 14th implementation date.
The only thing I had, Chief Downey, was that I just want to acknowledge Rob's comment in the chat. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, about leadership positions?
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's something that you want to give thought to. I want to give a little bit of thought to. Because I know how this all started, but based on the conversation around what does the chair do, what does the vice chair do, if they're in a position where it's not really a voting member, they're just organizing, running a meeting, that's a little bit different angle than how this all started. So I just want to acknowledge it and maybe give it some thought between now and next meeting.
Okay. Chief Lins, anything from Banks?
We have nothing. We're just kind of moving through the end of the year and hopefully get our new rescue in service by the first of the year. So that's the only real excitement we have out here.
Thanks, Chief Lins. Dr. Daya? Dr. Daya, I saw you unmute, but we didn't hear you. We can come back to Dr. Daya. Rob, or Jen, anything from, or whomever, there's a few folks from AMR.
I'll defer to Jen initially. I don't have any high level stuff from my region other than for the Firebase folks, the QAF program in Oregon is still on a pause. Basically, everything's been ratified and it's rule of law now, but the administration of it hasn't occurred. So we're still waiting to make our first payment and receive our first reimbursement. That's it.
And the only other thing I will add is that we added two units to our baseline deployment as of last Friday, the 13th. And so in a 24-hour cycle, we now have 35 ambulances and we peak at 25. And those two are both ALS units. So exciting news, expanding deployment.
Great. Thank you, Jen. Larry, anything from Metro West?
Yeah, things are going really well. Staffing continues to improve. Last month in November, we ran 19 911 transports, but the call volume continues to increase on the inner facility side, and fortunately our staffing continues to increase as well. So yeah, things are going well, thanks.
All right, great. Thank you, Larry. We'll give Dr. Daya another try, maybe. He said earlier he was having some Zoom issues, so those might be continuing. You're there, Dr. Daya, but not consistently.
Okay, yeah, the connection is poor. Anyway, wishing I don't have anything to add. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you. Let's see. I believe that is everybody. That's a nice picture, Adrian, you added of Jack's new child. Let me see. Item number five, good of the order. Is there anything for the good of the order or here? I'm assuming there's nobody joined late. No, but yeah. So, okay. Anything for the good of the order?
I'm going to jump in Thanks, Chief Amor, Rob Amor. I just kind of want to introduce this subject matter because we're looking at deployment, we're looking at efficiencies, and one of the things we've encountered is how we're delineating out urban, suburban, and rural response zones. And having had an opportunity to speak with a few of you folks on the Alliance group, that this is the group that needs, that discussion needs to occur. And I understand there might be a little bit of energy around us to reconsider what those zones are. So I guess I'm just kind of throwing it out there as the new guy in the group.
Are you just asking for history behind the lines or?
Yeah, the history. Yeah, thanks, Tim. I don't know if the history is necessary, but we look at it with the way that county is evolving and growing and developing, that we might want to look at those lines and make sure that they're still as accurate as, say, they were 5 years ago or 10 years ago. The nexus by which they were generated, I understand, was rather fire management area based initially, and it may be an opportunity for us just to look at those and make sure that everything's going the way it should be.
Yeah, I can just give a brief overview, and maybe Larry Boxman has a little bit deeper as well. The urban zone, it follows the urban growth boundary. With the last update, especially with the ASP update, we looked at what changes occurred in the urban growth boundary and added those to the urban zone. And I gotta tell you, in the last, I don't know, I think it was like 10, 15 years, somewhere in that range, very little changed in the urban growth boundary. Most notably, they changed it to accommodate Sherwood High School in the southeast, which I thought was funny because it literally just follows their property line around. But for the change from suburban to rural, that fell along those box map lines. And there's some geography, I think, that it kind of correlates with, along with routes of access and egress and those things. But otherwise, the governance document group that looked at all of that, nobody really had like a clear understanding of how they got there. And nobody really had a strong ambition to move from what was already established.
Thanks, Tim. If it's something that folks are willing to discuss and look at, we'd love to have that meeting and discuss it. We come at it from obviously a little bit different angle based off of volumes and call activity and frequency of call location. But just throwing it out. And if folks have energy around it, we're there.
Tim, is this something that we can have a conversation as the Alliance, or is this something that the county does? Or, I mean, you said it was one of the work groups, maybe, or document
group. It was in the governance document group, because it's discussed in the ASP. I believe it's also indicated in county code. Because some of it involves, the word is escaping me now. We have agreements with Clackamas County. Oh my gosh, the word just flew right out of my head. Anyhow, part of our ASA extends into Clackamas County because it keeps Tualatin contiguous. And then part of their ASA pushes into Washington County because it keeps Wilsonville contiguous. So that's why it's contained where it is. So that group can look at it again. Any data that AMR has as to why they think the lines need to be changed would be interesting to see. And we can run our own analyses as well. And if there's anybody that has historical knowledge of why those lines were put where they were, that would be super helpful too.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, we'll see what we can generate for you.
All right. Thank you, Rob. Anything of the other topics for good of the order? Okay. Hearing none. Well, a very productive 2024 from this group and all of our folks that do the work, really. Busy year. Always seems to get busier with new challenges and some excitement on the horizon with nurse navigation in 2025 and the structuring of this group and, you know, evaluating resource management and system stewardship. So I think we're on a great course as a system. And thank you and all your staffs for all the effort and all the time and energy that goes into making this system in Washington County as strong and resilient as it is. And Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year to everybody. And unless there's anything else, we will adjourn. Next meeting is January 23rd.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Happy holidays.
Thank you, everyone. Holidays.